The cellar door flew open with a booming sound, and then he heard the noise much louder.
It's humbug still, said Scrooge. I won't believe it.
His colour changed, though, when, without a pause, it came on through the heavy door and passed into the room before his eyes.
I know him! Marley's ghost!
The same face. The very same. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. It was long, and wound about him like a tail, and was made, for Scrooge observed it closely, of cash-boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel.
"How now?" said Scrooge, caustic and cold as ever. "What do you want with me?"
"Much!"
Marley's voice. "No doubt about it."
"Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was."
"Who were you then?"
said Scrooge, raising his voice. "You're particular for a shade." He was going to say, "to a shade," but substituted this as more appropriate.
"In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley."
Can you sit down?
Asked Scrooge, looking doubtfully at him.
I can.
Do it then.
Scrooge asked the question because he didn't know whether a ghost so transparent might find himself in a condition to take a chair, and felt that in the event of it being impossible, it might involve the necessity of an embarrassing explanation. But the ghost sat down on the opposite side of the fireplace, as if he were quite used to it.
"You don't believe in me,"
observed the ghost.
"I don't," said Scrooge.
"What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?"
"I don't know," said Scrooge.
"Why do you doubt your senses?"
"Because," said Scrooge, "a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the mouth, a slight disorder of the stomach, affects their senses, cheats them of their senses. You may be a bit of undigested beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of the gravy about you than the grave, whatever you are."
Scrooge was not much in the habit of cracking jokes, nor did he feel, in his heart, by any means waggish then. The truth is that he tried to be smart, as a means of distracting his own attention and keeping down his terror. For the spectre's voice disturbed the very marrow in his bones.